Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Not About Wrestling, the only interview show featuring the biggest names in professional wrestling, where we discuss everything except professional wrestling. I'm your host, Chris Illuminati, and on today's show, I'm talking to Maxwell Jacob Friedman, better known to wrestling fans as MJF. He's the fastest rising star in the history of professional wrestling. He's undefeated in AEW singles competition, and he's honest as hell. In this episode, MJF and I discuss dating apps, the only holiday that really matters to MJF, his distaste for the yacht rock music genre, his thoughts on why social distancing rules should stay in effect forever, and why AEW will be much better off with him as the world champion. Entering the ring, hailing from Plainview, Long Island, ladies and gentlemen, it's MJF. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Not About Wrestling, the show where I talk to professional wrestling's biggest stars about everything except wrestling, not counting those moments that we actually talk about wrestling. With me today is a man who needs no introduction. In fact, he doesn't even need his entire name. He just needs his initials. He's the man who wants to be your next AEW champion because the fans deserve better. He's none other than MJF.
That wasn't bad. I'm really proud of you. I have seen much worse introductions by much more smoother-brained individuals, but clearly there are some crevices in yours, so be proud of yourself.
Can we name drop who the terrible people were?
Oh, God. If we get into that, I'm going to have to get into more lawsuits. And while I'm obviously going to win easily with my tremendous lawyer who might have botched this week, we don't need to talk about that. So here's the thing. Could I talk about all of the smooth brain dimwits that have interviewed me in the past, like Sean Ross Sapp? But, you know, there's a couple people I can mention, but I just don't need to go there. It's not necessary.
How does a guy like MJF get himself up for interviews? Like,
You know what? People are saying that I'm one of the greatest talkers in the history of the business, which they're not wrong, not even a little bit. So for me, I do find these interviews very enticing, especially an interview with somebody where I might not be talking about wrestling as much because I can really dive into so much more about me and all the interesting facts that are about me and what has really made me as a human being. So this particular interview, believe it or not, I was pretty amped about.
Great. That's good to hear. I hope that stays that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just don't fuck up.
I try not to.
Yeah.
I am divorced, so I think I got one thing against me.
Okay, well, how long were you married?
8 years.
8 years too long, pal. What are you doing? Why? You know, do you have any idea how much fun you could be having? You're not the ugliest looking guy I've ever seen.
Well, thank you.
Know?
I appreciate that.
You're moderately, you know, attractive looking dude.
Thanks.
Have fun, you know?
I think it's the Zoom. The Zoom makes people look a little better than they are.
It's probably it. Let me just get, oh no, sorry. I don't have my glasses on. Oh, wow. Oh, that's actually pretty fucking brutal, huh? How old did you say you were? 50?
Close, 43.
Ooh. Okay. So, well, I'm sorry that marriage thing didn't work out for you. Good luck out there.
Would your advice then to be to hitch on to someone else?
What I would say is, you know, get on those apps, you know, Tinder, Hinge, Grindr, whatever you're into, man. It's 2020. Just, you know, have fun out there. Try to find somebody who, you know, would be India. Somebody who's, you know, blind or, you know, underprivileged. You'll figure it out.
A man like yourself obviously would not have to use a dating app.
Never have, never will.
What would you suggest to, not to someone ugly like me, but to someone else? What would you say? Just say a guy coming out of college wants to, trying to find his way around.
Absolutely. Guys, here's the issue with these dating apps. It's so absolutely ridiculous. There's no way to show a woman how charismatic you are. If I go onto Tinder and I'm swiping right, obviously they're all accepting me. But when I'm messaging them, it's not as intense to see how suave I am as a human being unless you see it in person. It's completely different magic. And if you are trying to, you know, have some fun, I suggest go out to a bar, go out to your local, anywhere, go out anywhere. Just get out of your house. If you can, obviously now things are a little wacky, put your mask on. But the best way to draw a chick in is to see them live and in person. And also, I'm so sick and tired of just these people expecting so much from life by going on Twitter and Instagram and thinking that they're important, because 10 times out of 10, you're not. And that's probably the reason why you don't leave your house in the first place. But if you're not afraid of the sun, if you're not afraid of getting out of your house, easily the best way to pull chicks is by being there live and in person.
I would have to think for guys like me now, putting on a mask would be an advantage.
Absolutely. They only get to see half of the atrocity that is your face. Right. So
that's probably
a win-win.
It is. I'm sure there's probably people out there who probably use your photos in a Tinder profile.
It's actually, oddly enough that you say it, I've been tagged, and not once, not twice, but I believe like five times, different fake Tinder profiles or Hinge profiles with people using my likeness, which in a way is definitely a compliment. Although I did sue them for defamation of character and got a lot of money off of it, still, it was complimentary. Just don't tell the judge that.
Do you feel bad for a woman who shows up and MJF doesn't show up to the date?
No, because you're an idiot for thinking I would be on one of those websites in the first place. So
that's fair. That's fair. I wanted to talk to you. Summer's over.
Yep.
Labor Day is coming up. It's a holiday where people have off. Is Labor Day a thing that an MJF would get into? Like, how? What are your holidays? What are your favorite holidays?
My favorite holiday is easily Hanukkah. It is by far the best holiday of the year. Nothing surpasses it. I can't even think of anything that comes close. What other holiday is there where you get 8 days of presents? Eight consecutive days in a row. Christmas, one day. Boo-hoo. 8 days of presents. What was your name again?
Chris,
8 days of presents. Name me a holiday that you get to celebrate 8 days in a row. Besides Hanukkah.
I can't think of one.
There you go. That's because you never will. Hanukkah.
That's true. That's a good point. If you were going to approve of any of the holidays, like to let's say, okay, people, you can celebrate these kind of holidays that you kind of get. Any of them that you kind of get?
Oh, man. You know, I never got the Christmas thing. It's just one day. It's sloppy. The figurehead for it's fat and grotesque and very old looking. It's got a big scraggly white beard. And if we're being honest here, it's a little weird, you know? We're giving out milk and cookies to a man we've never met before. He may or may not try to get in our children's rooms. He's just going to intriguingly give people presents for free. Mm-hmm. Nothing's free in this world, Chris. Mm-hmm. So just think about that.
You know what holiday's really gotten on my nerve recently, and probably because I have kids, how big of a deal people make about Halloween now?
Ugh, God, I'll tell you why. It's because people want to be anything but themselves because they hate what they're looking at in the mirror. So, I can dress up like something that's interesting and intriguing and, you know, pretty or scary, anything besides looking like myself. So I think that's why it's gotten bigger and bigger, because unfortunately the obesity rate in our country has gotten bigger and bigger, which is by putting on these costumes, these people can pretend they're anybody but, you know, their fat, lardy-ass selves. So it makes sense. Also gives them more of an excuse to eat candy as if they weren't eating enough in the first place. Mm. So it all connects, Chris. It all connects.
One of the reasons I hate it, are you aware of what trunk or treats are?
I have never heard of this in my entire life.
You're better off for it. So trunk or treats are, before the actual holiday of Halloween,
yeah.
People will gather in a parking lot at like a school, and like different places like the local Elks Lodge or like other things will come, open up trunks filled with candy, and kids will go around and trick or treat prior to Halloween.
That just seems like a good way to chew on a razor blade. I don't think I trust any candy coming out of a trunk. Yeah. I don't trust anything coming out of a trunk, and I'm not going to get near a trunk. That to me sounds just as wildly scary as letting a stranger into my house to put presents under my tree. It's all absolutely preposterous, Chris.
Yeah. So what bothers me is, and you're correct, like we tell our kids for their entire life, don't talk to strangers and don't ever take anything out of their cars, except for the week before Halloween, where
that old crusty guy from down the street. Yeah, you can go in his trunk, and that's cool. Yeah, I don't let my kids participate.
Yikes. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're a good father then, Chris. You should be very proud of yourself. How old are your kids?
10 and 7.
All right. Great. Good for you, buddy.
Thanks.
They made the abortion test. It's good.
Yes. They made it this far.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another thing that got me on the thinking about the holidays, like I think about the different music that comes, you know, when you're celebrating, especially for a thing like Labor Day, it's a big barbecue, a backyard barbecue. Are you familiar with the genre of music called yacht rock?
Absolutely not. However, I have been on numerous yachts, so I'm actually shocked I've never heard of this. Is this for poor people to make them feel like they're on a yacht?
Yes, kind of.
Okay. Yeah. Well, indulge me in your society, please.
So basically, it's like 70s and 80s soft rock under the classification of yacht rock. So it would be what you would play if you did indeed own a yacht.
That is not what we play. That is not even close to what we play when we're on the yacht. That's abysmal. Who came up with that?
I would guess people who owned a lot of 70s and 80s music that no one listened to anymore.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. We're listening to like some good old school stuff. Like I'm talking like old school, like OG Justin Bieber, some NSYNC maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't remember the last time I listened to smooth rock on a yacht. Mm. Maybe like the first Lil Baby album might be the furthest back I've gone. But I mean, 80s, that's like, did they even make music back then?
They did. I was
born in 96, so I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see. If you were, are you the type of guy who would control the music on a yacht?
Yeah, who else is going to? Yeah, absolutely.
On someone else's yacht. Would you go on someone else's yacht?
Yeah. Well, people understand. I'm the master of ceremonies. I'm that guy. I mean, people trust my musical taste and acumen as well, just as much as people trust my musical taste and acumen in a car. I've always been DJ, always. But yeah, dude, my tracks are sick. And it's easy, bro. Go on iTunes, go to top 100 in the US, and that's your sweet spot. Press shuffle. That's it. It's not that complicated. But I'm not going to sit there and listen to 70s? Mm-hmm. What was that, like the Frank Sinatra years? What was?
You're looking at more like a Hall & Oates, Journey, Kenny Loggins. Yeah. All right. Have you seen Top Gun? No. Okay. Have you seen any 80s rom-coms?
Was there colored like movies?
Yeah.
At that point?
A couple, most of which do not hold up anymore.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. This is all kind of whirling right over my head.
Do you remember the first movie you ever went to go see in the movies?
Absolutely. I think it was Shrek 2.
Okay.
It was solid. It was after I went on the Rosie O'Donnell show for a second time. Mm-hmm. She gave me Shrek ears and free movie tickets for Shrek 2. A lot of people don't realize I was on the Rosie show not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. The second time, I believe it was for a Valentine's Day special. I also received a butt ton of Dunkin' Donuts because that's all she had in catering. Go figure. She's a big lady. Mm-hmm. But when I was a kid, I loved strawberry donuts, like as much as probably like Homer Simpson. Loved strawberry donuts. So
I want to kind of get this straight. You're a kid on the Rosie O'Donnell show and they give you free unlimited donuts.
Yep. Yeah.
And all Shrek gear.
Yeah, like, yeah. I got to see Shrek for free before anybody else did. It was a big deal.
I gotta feel like they could have given you better stuff than that.
You know, I also personally, I don't felt, I wasn't compensated properly for being there. To be honest, I was the headliner for both episodes that I did. Mm-hmm. And look, that's showbiz, you know, it's ran by crooked people. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another, and oh, it's always these hosts. Look at Ellen now. Everybody, ooh, I love Ellen. She dances. She's so kooky. Mm-hmm. She's like, I think she like hits her staff members. I've just heard crazy stuff. So it wouldn't shock me if Rosie had some like secret dungeon where she just beats people with belts, and I don't know. They're all creepy, man. All of them are creepy. I'm not a fan, except Conan. Conan seems pretty cool. I like Conan.
Do you like it better when you find out that a person who seems genuinely good is literally a piece of shit?
You know, yes, and I'll tell you why. Because everybody seems to love to call me the bad guy, even though I'm the honest guy. I'm salt of the earth. I'm the guy who's always going to tell you straight. I have no filter. I cut straight to the chase. But then these people who put on these fake smiles and they have all these fake friends and they have all these fake emotions, when you find out that they're monsters and I'm just the guy who's being honest the whole entire time, it feels good. And then you hope that people will start taking notice of the fact that those people that are faking it should be the ones that are getting booed, and I should be cheering for guys like MJF. Mm-hmm. But it still hasn't happened yet. But hopefully one day people come to their senses, you know?
Do you think if you're successful in beating Jon Moxley that that'll happen?
100%. Well, this, as I can say, this has been a grassroots campaign. It started from the absolute bottom to the top. Mm-hmm. MJF 2020 is proving to people that we do truly deserve better. Jonathan Moxley is a dictator. He's a bad person. He's a bad wrestler. What he is, and I said it last, he's a glorified goon. Mm-hmm. That's all he's a fighter, you know? Mm-hmm. But the only difference is, while Mick Foley was a fighter, at least he was able to wrestle. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, Jon Moxley kind of reminds me of guys like the Sandmans or New Jacks or Balls Mahoney's of the world. Just garbage, absolute garbage. And everyone got offended. I don't know if you are a wrestling fan. Perhaps you just do this on your off time. But there was this guy named Onita. You know who Onita is?
I had
mentioned him previously on an episode of Dynamite. And people were up in arms. How can you say this about Onita? He's a legend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? People are legendary for a lot of stupid things. There's somebody in the Guinness Book of World Records for eating the most amount of worms in a minute. Am I supposed to pretend that that guy's intelligent? No. So it's all absolutely ridiculous. But to get to the point, backtrack. I do believe people are starting to figure out and see through the thinly sheeted veil of deceit that Jonathan has created in front of himself, that he's a bad person and he's a bad champion. I'm somebody, I can go on these talk shows and deal with these evil people, but still come out on top and make AEW seem like a more viable brand. I'm somebody who can put on billboards and posters and in movies and in commercials and on and so forth and so forth. You can't put Jon Moxley in any of that. You don't know if he's going to bite somebody's nose off if he's in a bad mood. The guy's unhinged. He's a complete freak. But I'm a businessman. So, yes, I think people are starting to realize that if I do win this championship, I can take AEW to new heights.
Has this made you have any real political aspirations?
You know, a lot of people have stopped me and in the streets and they've said, oh my God, is that MJF? And I go, yes, it is. And then they go, oh my God, this is the greatest moment of my life. And I go, stop. And then they go, if you were running for president, I would vote for you. And this happens at least twice a day. And look, do I think if I ran for president and I put my hat in the race that I'd win? Absolutely, 100%. But currently, my goal is wrestling. That's my goal. It's gonna go wrestling, acting, music career, philanthropy. And to me, philanthropy has to do with being in politics, even though a lot of these politicians are just in this for greed and money. But we'll get there. When I'm in like my 60s, yeah, I'll probably run for the president of the United States of America and win handedly.
Can I throw a talk show host in there? Would you be a talk show host?
I mean, the money would have to be very good, Chris. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are some guys, they have podcasts. No offense. It's a terribly lazy medium. I would never get involved in that. But if you can make your money there, you make your money there, you know?
I just want to squash the rumor. There's no money in podcasting.
Well, you know, I was trying to be polite, Christopher, and it's not a rumor. I'm pretty sure everybody knows that, so.
That's fair. Thanks for trying to be nice about that.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I hit everything that we talked about that. Oh, yeah, this kind of popped into my head today. So as I was running, I'm running through the park. Mm-hmm. And I'm not wearing a mask because I'm running and I'm alone. Yep. And I'm in a park.
Okay.
There are people who are walking. They have masks on. They decide that I'm running on a path and they want to go very far away from me, even though they have masks on.
Yes.
It got me thinking about this interview. And I feel like people keeping a social distance is something MJF would actually enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did not miss the crowd. If I'm being completely honest, you know, they showed up, all the boys were in the back. Oh my God, they're sound. Yeah. And like, I was like, great. Now they're going to give us their opinions that aren't warranted. And it is what it is. Social distancing has been great for me because I don't have to deal with people pestering me for autographs 24/7 or asking me how my day's going, trivial bullshit that nobody actually cares about because they all just want to take a picture with me. So yes, I've enjoyed social distancing quite a lot. And I kind of hope that it becomes the new norm.
I mean, we could make it the new norm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Here's the thing. When this pandemic settles down, mm-hmm. and hopefully it does, who knows, this could be our new normal. But let's say COVID settles down. Mm-hmm. I do think it should be an acceptable thing to be able to look at somebody completely and go, hey, I'm not comfortable with you being this close to me. I'd appreciate if you social distance. That way, you know, I feel more comfortable. And in a way, that could become the new, hey, I'm sorry, my dog ate my homework or whatever. Right. It's just going to help you get out of scenarios you don't want to be in, which is fantastic. So there's a silver lining in everything.
I'd love to get rid of the random handshakes.
Oh, the handshake should be dead. I think the Japanese got it down pat with the bow. Mm-hmm. Bold move, and I like it, and there doesn't have to be any physical contact. I like that. Or a simple, you know, a little simple salutski. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't do anybody any harm. But yeah, the handshake has been completely abolished in All Elite Wrestling, thankfully, because people are intelligent in my company, not as intelligent as me, but more so intelligent than most professional wrestling companies. And it's just nonsensical to be walking around and shaking everybody's hand. Germs. Mm-hmm. I never quite understood the handshake, and I don't think I ever will.
Yeah. I think one thing that this whole COVID has alerted us all to is that we're all very gross people.
Oh, God. I mean, speak for yourself, mm-hmm. but I would say a majority of Americans, yes, are disgusting, filthy animals. Absolutely. Yeah,
most of us. One of my favorite things that I would laugh at and never touch all the time, I'd like to get your opinion on this. I would go to the public library, and there was a puzzle that used to stay on a table that people could just come by and put together anytime.
Bad move. Yep. Bad move. That, and one thing that makes me laugh is public water fountains. Mm-hmm. Have you ever drank from one?
In desperation during running.
So like, it's only understandable in my opinion, if you're going to die. Mm-hmm. It's a dire strait situation to me. Like Sahara Desert level. That is the only way it's going down. Because think about the amount of not so bright people who probably put their mouth on the thing, or maybe when they're swallowing it, they swallow it, maybe they spit some of it out. Maybe they hog a loogie on it. You have no idea the amount of gross people that have gone near a public water fountain. And to me, I'll never quite understand it. I think the best thing that's happened is I'm seeing a lot of European countries are doing this, and it's very intelligent. They're having like a way, if you take a plastic water bottle like this, you just put it under a thing and it, you know, sprays right in whatever. Doesn't have to touch anything. It's much more sterile. And also it's great for the environment because you're recycling, you know? Yeah. So it seems like a win-win to me. Whereas water fountains are a lose-lose, complete lose-lose.
Here's one thing we did lose that I'm personally upset about, and maybe you can talk on it. My grocery store used to have one of those weigh your own candy things where you could put, like, you get a bag.
I don't eat candy.
Oh, you don't eat candy?
No.
Man.
Not for me.
Not even as a candy. Not even as a kid.
No, a lot of gluten.
Oh, it's the gluten thing? Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Riddled with gluten and sugar.
So when did you get off the donuts? Like, when did you realize that was terrible for you?
So what had occurred was after that big donut, in a way, the big fat lady did help me nutritionally, because after I binged on those donuts, I just felt awful. It's the most I'd ever eaten in my entire life to this day. Mm-hmm. I must have had 7 strawberry donuts. Okay. And I remember just waking up and just still feeling like almost hungover basically from donuts. Mm-hmm. And after that, I just have not done sugar or gluten, and my abs thank me for it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think would happen if you did try a donut today?
I don't think it would be great for my stomach. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. I have a very sensitive stomach, mm-hmm. as most of my people do. Mm-hmm. Jewish people aren't known for having ironclad stomachs. Mm-hmm. We're kind of known for being, you know, A majority of us actually have IBS, which is a real genetic thing. This isn't me generalizing. So, yeah. See, that's something that has nothing to do with wrestling. IBS. Yeah.
I learned something new today. Maybe I should try like an offshoot IBS podcast and have people on who only
Why not? IBS. I mean, who doesn't love talking about how many times you poop a day? Which, did you know that doctors believe the amount of times you poop a day is once a day? Are you aware of that? It's absurd. Yeah. It's absurd. I'm the healthiest human being on planet Earth. I think at minimum I must poop 4 times a day. Minimum. That's on like a lucky day. That's minimum. How many times you poop a day, Chris?
3, mostly all in the morning.
Okay. Would you say you're a constipated guy or would you say you're a healthy guy?
No, not at all. I say I'm healthy.
But imagine being able to only poop once a day. That seems ungodly to me.
Sounds painful.
That's how I feel. Yeah. Like you would wake up like clockwork at 4 a.m. every morning because your body's not able to hold it in anymore. There's just there's absolutely no way. But yes, and that is why I don't eat donuts.
Now, let me ask, because we're on the subject. Are you like same time every day guy, or is it just like 4 whenever spread across?
4 whenever spread across. I have a very high protein diet, so you never know when it's going to hit you hard. Mm-hmm. But when it does, you gotta go, as they say. Yeah. So I think people, for some reason, people don't like talking about poop. Mm-hmm. Everybody poops. There's even a book about it.
Yeah.
So that's my hot take on it.
I'm fine with it. I'm thinking maybe we help people. Like maybe someone will watch this and go, whoa, MJF poops 4 times a day. Something might be wrong with me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why do I poop 10 times a day? Yeah. And then go see a doctor. Mm-hmm. See, we're saving lives here. And that's a big part of my campaign with MJF 2020. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make the world a better place.
Here's one thing I'd like you to consider with the campaign thing that maybe after this is successful, you can move on to.
Absolutely.
We always see these TV commercials for medications that help something.
Yep.
But the medication ends up giving you 17 side effects that seem almost worse than what you're taking the medication for.
Ooh, wow. Very good.
Pretty unhealthy. Can we get away from...
Violently unhealthy. I actually, little known fact, I have attention deficit disorder.
Okay.
And which, like, severely bad to the point where it was actually classified as a learning disability because my teacher would be talking and the only thing I would be thinking about was wrestling or football or that girl's ass that passed me by in the hallway that I eventually got to grab anyway. Mm. Stuff like this. Mm. And... at one point I took medication for it. I took this thing called, I'm sure you've heard of it. Most people take it now. It's like a party drug at this point, Adderall. So I take Adderall and I only took it for a short amount of time because I had the worst conceivable side of it. I felt like depressed, which is I'm the furthest thing from somebody with depression. I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror and I go, damn. Mm. So for me to wake up in the morning and be like I just knew right away. So to me, it's so interesting that you'll get sold on these bed of goods for something that's supposed to help you, and it can actually make your life even worse. I'd much rather not be listening to whatever bullshit a teacher's trying to talk to me about when I already knew I was going to become a millionaire regardless, than wake up and like not want to get out of bed. So there's a prime example there.
When you were on Adderall, did you take the legit Adderall or did you take the generic?
Oh, the strong boy stuff.
Okay.
The strong boy stuff. Oh, yeah.
Because I also have ADD.
Oh, tremendous, Chris. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. And it took a while for me to figure that out. No teachers ever told me or anyone. But I did find this out from a friend of mine who also had it, who was taking generic for a while. This is going to get kind of deep here.
Yeah, so please.
In generic forms of that type of stuff, the FDA only requires 10% of the actual drug to be in generic.
Yep.
The 90% can be whatever the hell they
want
to fill.
Anything they want. It'd be fucking baking soda. Yep.
Yes. And it's so my friend was taking it, and what he was taking, the other 90%, was counteracting the 10% that was supposed to be helping him. And so it's a big hodgepodge of that's a campaign thing.
Big pharma, man. Let me tell you something. If I do become the AEW world champion, that's going to be one of the big things I tackle. Obviously, after I'm done making AEW a better place, as the spokesperson of All Elite Wrestling, that is something I do plan on tackling for sure.
Cool. Well, we could talk about that maybe on another podcast. I want to get your opinions on some other stuff.
Absolutely.
Get too deep. One thing. So the two commentators on the lead commentators, I would say, on AEW, Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone, they've been called the voices of our childhood.
Sure.
Might be a little bit different for you because, you know,
a little bit long.
Yeah, right. If you could choose one of them to just kind of like narrate your day.
I would say Jim Ross because he's good at his job. Tony Schiavone is a sniveling loser, piece of shit, garbage, lying, human being. I don't even want to call him a human being. He's a pest is what he is. He goes on there every week and he talks so ill of me. I'll tell you this. Jim Ross, for better or for worse, when he speaks his mind, he tells people the God's honest truth. Whether he likes me or not, he's going to tell them that I'm a prodigy. He's going to tell them that I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world right now, if not the best. He's going to tell them how much potential I have to be a world champion for several years to come and to be a top guy for several years to come, whereas Tony Schiavone will just sit there and talk about how much of a bad guy I am. So to answer your question, absolutely, my answer is Jim Ross. And probably a Jim Ross with like one or two Moscow mules in him, because that's when he gets saucy.
Oh, Jim's a fan of Moscow. I did not.
Well, that's his favorite drink, for sure. Oh,
interesting.
By the way, he introduced me to a Moscow mule. And I don't hate it. It's not terrible. Terrible drink.
What's your drink of choice?
My go-to drink is obviously a Skinny Rita. And probably a Skinny Rita with salt in the rim, Avi, because I'm not trying to, you know, get too much sugar. But if I am feeling frisky, I'll just do straight tequila, Don Julio, on the rocks with a splash of lime, but still give me that salt in the rim. I just love my salt in the rim, dude. It's the best. It's the absolute best. But yeah, to answer your question, Jim Ross, if not Jim Ross, definitely Taz, because me and Taz, we're basically BFFs, bro. We're basically neighbors. We both live in Long Island together. He's a great guy. Absolutely great guy.
That's fair. So we'll say Taz, but if you had to choose, Jim Ross.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Before I let you go, because I know you're a super busy man, we got a couple questions from fans on Twitter, and I wanted you kind of like rapid fire on these.
Yep.
If you're ready. Broken Kimmy wants to know, what's the first thing in AEW you will change once you become champion?
I'm gonna change the perception of our style, because at the end of the day, it's all elite wrestling, not all elite gymnastics, not all elite hardcore, not all elite blood. It's all elite wrestling. And unfortunately, because of the fact that John Moxley is a champion, people are thinking to themselves, well, in order to become a champion, I need to be like John. So they copy his style. And what I want to do is I want to bring wrestling back to wrestling. What we do is a sport, and I want it to be respected. So to answer that question, I'm going to change the way that people look at AEW.
Okay. Play Nice 9001 wants to know, being a man.
How many Play Nices are there on Twitter that he had to be 9001?
Yeah, you know what? I always look at the Twitter names, and as soon as
they
try to get rid of all the spam and the bots, as soon as they see a name with like seven or eight numbers at the end, like they're obviously not this guy. Maybe 9001. Okay, but like this 244461. Like that's a bot. Like
100%. And by the way, this guy probably is a bot. What was his question? I'll tell you if he's a bot or not.
His question is: being a man of refined and impeccable taste.
Not a bot. Not a bot at all. Continue.
You must partake of only the finest brands and flavors of chewing gum. Do you have any personal recommendations you would be inclined to share?
Not something I can legally tell you, but wink, wink, my gum guy imports some of our gum from a certain country, and it is by far the best gum you will ever chew on. If you really want to know, on the DL, my email account is bookmjf@gmail.com, and I'll have one of my assistants talk to you.
There you go. So Play Nice, 7,000, 9,000, whatever. There's your answer. And finally, a mutual friend of ours wants to know, what's the current state of the Plainview-Syosset Athletics rivalry?
So here's the sad thing, is my father played for the Syosset Braves as a running back. He had the all-time rushing record in his high school. I grew up a Plainview Hawk. The Syosset Braves are scum. And as much as I love my dad, he's a piece of shit too. And it's not his fault, but he is, because he was born in a terrible, 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 awful, no good, very bad area. When I went to day camp, I went to Camp West Hills, where if you don't believe me, just look it up. West Hills is very close to Plainview. And there was one guy there. There was a bunch of people, you call them green shirts, right? So they're green shirts. And they're like the head staff of the camp. There was one green shirt named Steve. And Steve did not like me. He made it very clear. He'd always put me on timeout, which was absolutely ridiculous because there was no better child to deal with than me. I was the best child. quite frankly, most people that know me as a child, they would even say, Max, you're the best child. And I would go, I know. But I digress. And he had a son. Steve had a son. And Steve's son ended up playing quarterback for Syosset. And we were the same age, me and green shirt Steve's son. For the 3 years I played on varsity, I would beat the living shit out of Steve. And my dad wouldn't know what to do because, you know, his son's having a great game, but at the same time, his alma mater is getting absolutely murdered. I ended up having, while my dad had the most rushing yards in all of Syosset history, up until 5 years ago, somebody actually just broke it recently. Mine, still to this day, I have the all-time tackling record for Plainview JFK. And I'd like to think a part of that was due to two things. One, I just wanted to beat my dad. And two, Greenshirt Steve's kid, if he didn't play it down, I probably would be like at least minus, let's see, I sacked him in one game, I sacked him 8 times. Just because every time I got up, I just wanted to see the look of horror in his father's face. And every time I did, and it was yum, 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 so delicious. And it's something I'll never forget. So,
you know, stories like that, if you ever decide to be a father, you're probably going to be a good dad.
Oh, God, absolutely. And I think deep down, my dad just have to go to himself, well, my son's a better football player than I ever was, which is a hard thing to say. Guys, if you don't believe me, just Google Steven Friedman. He held the record for a long time. And then if you Google me, you can obviously see all my stats and statistics. I come from a long lineage of great football players. Many people don't know this, but I'm related to the late, great Benny Friedman, who's a Hall of Fame quarterback who played for the original Giants. Google that. Yeah. So, yeah.
I learned a lot today.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you. I mean, I expected to learn a lot. I mean,
well, that's what happens when you speak to me, a man with such high acumen and IQ. You're bound to absorb something from my zenith of knowledge that is my brain.
Well, I mean, since I learned so much, I think that's where I want to wrap it up. Any last things you want to say?
I'd like to say that Jonathan Moxley, I plan on beating you handedly inside of the squared circle. I'm going to keep you in that ring like a dog on a leash. And I'm so excited to become your AEW world champion because we deserve better.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody.
And that brings another episode of Not About Wrestling to a close. Guests of the Not About Wrestling show stay in their own damn houses. If you like the show, please share it on social or leave a review on iTunes. And remember to subscribe to Not About Wrestling on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com/brobible and find the Not About Wrestling section or follow us on Twitter @NotWrestlingPod. Thanks again for listening or watching, and see you all next week. Well, I won't see you at all. Well, you know what I mean.